Hi everybody, and welcome to Cooking in Real Time. My name is Zora O'Neill, and this week it's for real, real time. I am genuinely starving, so I'm gonna start, no preamble, I'm gonna start filling up the pasta pot with water, and then we'll talk about what I'm gonna do today. Sorry about the noise. So this week I am going to show you how to make a really great fallback pasta recipe. It's called pasta all'amatriciana. All right, there we go with the water. Good. So sorry, as I was saying, pasta all'amatriciana. You know, honestly, I made the mistake of looking up the name for the kind of pasta that's traditionally used, and I went down this total rabbit hole of arguments about what constitutes a traditional pasta all'amatriciana, blah, blah, blah. Putting lots of salt in the water right now. Anyway, I don't even want to get into that. So basically what I'm going to tell you is a recipe that I learned from a friend of mine's dad when we happened to be on vacation in the Dominican Republic. That sounds totally random and it really has nothing to do with the Dominican Republic, which is kind of what is so great about this recipe. It's basically pasta with kind of caramelized onions and bacon and tomato sauce. And what is so great about it is, sorry, I'm slightly distracted while I'm talking to you because I'm looking for the lid to our pasta pot, which seems to have vanished. Oh no, here. Okay, all right, now I can think better while I talk. What is so great about this, and while I talk, I'm gonna be cutting up some bacon. Think about how many people you're making this for, and maybe do 2 slices of bacon per person. So I've got 4 slices of bacon, and I'm just chopping those up into, I don't know, 1/2-inch pieces. So you're gonna have little bacon nubbins when they're all cooked up. So, as I keep saying, what's so great about this dish is that you can cook it any time of year. Like I said, I had it in the Dominican Republic in like sweltering humidity and it was delicious. And I'm cooking it right now because it's kind of cold out and that bacon is gonna give me a little warmth and loveliness. And the other great thing is it really doesn't require any great fresh ingredients. I'm putting my little bacon bits in a cast iron skillet and putting that on the burner on low. The variance and the things people argue about this dish is whether or not the tomatoes are involved, whether or not onions are involved and it should be garlic, blah, blah, blah. The type of pasta you use traditionally is called bucatini. It's these little hollow tubes, which are fun. If you don't normally use them, they're kind of a fun pasta, and they are nice because they get a little sauce inside them. But you can't slurp them, which is sort of distressing. I'm just spreading out the bacon in the pan here. Cutting the bacon up beforehand, it's a little easier just because then you can stir randomly instead of flipping all the bacon slices one by one by one. You can kind of let it go without paying too much attention to it. But I am sort of unsticking all the pieces from each other, so although that would happen naturally eventually. And the other thing is I'm gonna get out a couple of onions. Sort of 1 medium onion per person. And in the interest of time tonight, I'm gonna actually do these onions in a separate pan. Ordinarily, I think if I wasn't feeling quite so ravenous or desperate, I would do the bacon, take that out, fry the onions in the bacon fat. But because the onions cooking down takes a little bit of time, which anyone who has been with me from the very beginning knows, from that very first pasta with caramelized onions and yogurt and bacon recipe, if anybody remembers from that episode, caramelizing the onions takes a while. These don't have to be quite so intensely, perfectly, assiduously caramelized. They just really need to be softened up nicely. But still, in the interest of time, I'd rather get 2 pans dirty and eat faster rather than wait around. All right, I'm just peeling these onions and chopping them up. So, as I was saying about this pasta, so many permutations. Ooh, sorry, I like the one I make just because it's kind of handy and pretty basic. You can also add hot chili, red chili pepper. I've seen that in quite a few recipes. And of course, I have seen lots of recipes that use garlic with or without the onion. So that's up to you. Tonight, I'm not going to put red chili or garlic in because I'm going to save that for the side dish, which is just going to be a little bit of really quick cooked kale. Oh, I can already hear my bacon is turned up too high. Should not be sizzling quite that way. Oh, and speaking of permutations, I'm sure any true Italian would turn up his nose at the fact that I'm using bacon instead of pancetta or guanciale. Pancetta is cured pork belly, like bacon, but it's not smoked. And guanciale is cured pork jowl. Again, it's not smoked. So if you were to order this dish in Italy, I suppose it would have a very different flavor. But, you know, bacon is good, and it's much easier to get than pancetta or guanciale. And I have, oh man, I brought back some pancetta smuggled back in my suitcase, wrapped in my dirty underwear when I was in Italy. And it really, really is delicious and makes a huge difference. It makes a totally different dish from plain run-of-the-mill bacony tomato onion pasta sauce. But that's okay. I don't miss it that much because the bacon version is actually pretty good. Just, you know, don't try to pass it off as the real thing if you're talking to Italians. All right. Stirring the bacon around. And I'm going to get another burner set up with my onions. No, need a bigger skillet. There we go. It's always a good sign when I have two cast iron skillets going. And I'll put a drizzle of olive oil in that skillet for the onions, knowing that later I'll add a little more bacon fat. So, as I was saying, the reason I'm not adding garlic or hot pepper tonight to the pasta sauce is that I'm making some side stuff, just some greens, and those I want to make a little spicy. I don't think I will bother putting any garlic in them, although maybe I could. I have a bag of curly kale here, which somebody was nice enough to give me, which... Welcome to the fall, people, if you're at all into seasonal eating. Right now I'm snipping off the ends of the kale stems because they're looking a little dry and brown. So I want to make sure they're a little freshened up. So I'm trimming them before I rinse them. Yeah, if you're into eating at all seasonally, kale is like the thing that you get pretty damn tired of by the end of the winter. And I apologize because I feel like I'm jumping the gun on the fall ingredients and winter ingredients because there actually still is zucchini at the market and stuff like that. But, you know, by the time you get around to cooking this recipe, it's entirely possible it'll be full on kale season. You'll be so happy to know how to deal with it. So tonight with the kale, what I'm going to do in the interest of time and also not getting more and more pans dirty, I think, well, actually, you know what we'll do? We'll decide in real time how I'm gonna cook the kale. It all depends on whether the water boils before all the other pasta stuff is ready. If the water boils soon, I will simply boil the kale briefly in the pasta water and take it out. If everything else is moving along and is kind of done, I will sauté the kale. So either way, see how it goes. my bacon a little bit more. And I'm going to put some salt in the onions. You might remember from the very, very first podcast that helps the onions cook down a little bit faster. Helps make them soft. Okay, I've nearly got all my kale here trimmed. So I've got curly kale, and then there's also flat leaf kale. They're both delicious and also very good for you, full of nutrients. I'm just going to rinse them. Go back and stir my onions. I've got them cranked up pretty high. Again, I just kind of want to kick-start them cooking, and then once they get a little bit soft, I'll turn them back down. But when the heat is up high, you kind of need to stir them a bit more than you ordinarily would to make sure they're not sticking or burning or getting too brown in spots. And my bacon. Okay. So what we're going to do with the kale is really simple. Like I said, either it'll get dunked in the pasta water and simmered there until the stems are just soft, or we'll put it in a pan and wilt it. You might remember the episode from the middle of the summer when I did the wilted arugula. Arugula is really lightweight and thin and wilts almost immediately. You can do the same treatment with kale, and it takes a few minutes longer for everything to soften up properly, but it's basically the same idea. You would throw the kale in a pan with oil and maybe a little bit of liquid, but you don't really need it, just the moisture on the leaves, and cover the pan and let things cook down. All right, some of my bacon bits are getting crisp, some are not. So I've got my kale rinsed. It doesn't have to be dried because it'll either go in the pot with the water, or, like I said, that water on the leaves will be useful to us. Third ingredient for the pasta is tomatoes. And if you have fresh tomatoes, that's great. I made this a couple weeks ago with nice little grape tomatoes, and it was delicious. You just slice them all in half and put them in to simmer. But you can also make this with canned tomatoes very successfully, which is what I'm going to do tonight. I happen to have a can of these San Marzano tomatoes, which, according to the authorities, are the be-all, end-all of canned tomatoes. They happen to be selling them at my local grocery store, so I bought a few cans. I can't say I was totally bowled over. I didn't do any side-by-side taste testing. Usually what I use are those Muir Glen organic tomatoes, and they're pretty good. They don't taste sort of super cooked in the can, which is a plus. Ooh, you can hear the onions are sizzling quite a bit. I guess I'm finally going to have to break down and turn down the heat. Okay. Probably should have sliced my onions a little bit thinner, but it's fine. Whoa! Whoops, stirring too aggressively. Onions flying all over, but since you can't see me, you don't know whether I just put those back in the pan. Anyway, they're getting very well cooked. They'll be fine. Oh, look, and the water is boiling, which I think, like I said, it makes our decision for us on how to cook the kale. So I'm gonna dunk these in. We have a little steamer insert. And then put them in the steamer insert for the pot and dunk them in so they're easier to fish out. But of course, you can just throw them in the water and fish them out with tongs in a little while. There we go. Make sure everything is under the water. They turn this great bright green as soon as you put them in the hot water, which is pretty beautiful. Definitely makes you feel like something is good for you. All right, my bacon is also getting awfully crispy, So I'm going to fish that out of there and put that aside to drain on the paper towel just a little bit. Obviously, I'm not concerned about getting too much of the bacon grease off because I'm going to use some of it in the recipe. I was going to say, you could just leave it in the pan and cook the tomatoes right there with it. This way, I can pour off a teeny bit of the bacon grease. There's kind of a lot here. So I'm just pouring all but maybe a tablespoon or so of the bacon grease off. I keep a little coffee can in the freezer just for that. And if you keep your little can of grease pure, you can use the grease for cooking later. But we never managed to do that. Every time I think like, ooh, a little dab of bacon grease would be great here. Then I look in the can and I'm like, looks like something else got in there. I am adding some of these canned tomatoes right to the skillet that had the bacon in it. And I've got a big can of them, but I don't want to use all of them. I'm going to put in about 5 tomatoes. So sort of going on the maybe 2 tomatoes per person and 1 for the pot theory. I'm crushing them up now at the back of my wooden spoon, just to sort of rough chunks. Whoops, and you have to be careful not to squirt the seeds and juice out all over yourself. If you really want to get down and dirty, you can squeeze the tomatoes up in your hand before you add them to the pot, which is actually very handy, although the potential for squirting yourself all over with the juice is high. And since I'm not already kind of grubby and dirty, I'm leaving my hands clean for this task. All right, I'm stirring my onions again. They're getting nice and brown. And I'm checking on my greens. You don't want them, greens can get overcooked really quickly. So really you're just going for the stem to be not too crunchy. Okay, that's good. They're good. However long that was. Yum, yum, yum. I'm pulling all those out of the water. So my pasta water now is a little green, admittedly, from the kale. But it's okay. Totally fine. You actually won't see it in the end product. Since my kale is done, I'm going to go ahead and add my onions in with my tomatoes. So we can start getting along together. Alright, so now I've got it down to 2 pots, or 2 burners here on the stove. I've got my pasta water, which is coming back up to a boil. And I've got my pasta sauce. Yeah, I definitely should have sliced those onions thinner. I don't know what I was thinking. It should be alright. Alright, pasta. Like I said, the traditional kind is bucatini, which are these little, they look like big spaghetti, and they're actually hollow in the middle. And actually, oh, we happen to have some, so I think that's what I'll cook. Yeah, sure, that's what I'll cook. This bag has been hanging out in the pantry for a while, about 2/3 eaten. That's why I hesitate. I know this isn't very much pasta. It's enough for me, but maybe not 2 people. That's fine. I'm the only one who's eating right now. So I'm stirring up my pasta sauce a little bit. Ooh. Yeah, I gotta say, I have to warn you, this is not gonna be photogenic. The photo that will accompany this recipe is not really gonna be ideal. But it's all right. Eating my little niblets of bacon to pass the time. All right, my pasta water is back up to a boil. I'm gonna slide that bucatini in. I'm actually, for once, reading the package, I was 11 minutes. Okay, that's good, because it'll take about 10 minutes for the tomatoes to cook down and get a nice little flavor. So I can have time to get out some cheese here. And by the way, I've got the onions and tomatoes here on pretty low flame. They're just, you can hear them faintly bubbling. But you don't want them to cook too much and cook away all the liquid in the tomatoes. You want that to thicken up a little, but not cook away. So I'm giving the pasta a stir to make sure it doesn't clump up as it tends to right in the beginning. After that, you don't have to worry about it much. Okay, you may be wondering about what happened to our poor little greens. They got yanked out of the water and they're just sitting there, but that's fine. I will tend to them in a second. Just tidying up my cutting board, putting away the last two slices of bacon, which could come in handy for another small project, you never know. And where's my grater? Oh, here. Normally I would just grate cheese right over the pasta and serve it, but here I'm gonna toss the pasta around with the sauce a little bit, and it's kind of nice to mix the cheese in. Helps contribute to the body of the sauce, because the sauce itself is pretty basic. So I've got some cheese grated. Now we will turn to our poor neglected greens. So I've got a ton of them here, and I hope I wasn't too, maybe I was a little premature taking them out of the water. Some of the bigger, is that a worm? My rinsing job did not do so well. Okay, rinsing out some of the more organic details in my organic vegetables. Basically, yeah, kale, it's kind of like testing pasta. You're like, does it look cooked all the way through in the core of the stem? So I did yank mine a little bit too soon. This is the peril of cooking when you're absolutely starving. I should have made myself some cheese and crackers or something before I started, because the hunger does cloud your judgment a little bit and also distracts me from the task of actually finishing the dish, because I'm so busy eating all the kale I just cooked. Okay. Basically, when you're looking at the greens boiling, if they boil too long, they get that kind of olive green color, which is not so appetizing. You want to get them out before they turn that color. And if the stalks are a little chewy, it's okay. So what I'm going to do with these is nothing fancy. I'm just going to shake the water out and put them on a plate with a sprinkle of red wine vinegar. Just shaking that all over, very, very sparingly. And I'm going to put some, you can use crushed red pepper. I'm going to use a little Aleppo pepper because it's a little mellower. You can use a little bit more and get more chili flavor rather than chili heat. But that's it. And salt, if you want to taste. If your boiling water was not super salty, you can add a little bit more salt at the end before you serve this. And you can add black pepper if you want, but it's not essential. Good, good, good. So, and if these are not piping hot, that's fine too. Your pasta is going to be hot. Your other thing does not have to be straight out of the hot water hot. Often these kind of greens I will serve almost room temperature, or even with a side of like cold yogurt if you want them to be a little bit more Turkish feeling or something. I often do that. I was actually intending to cook beet greens tonight, because I know I had some bunches of beets with the greens still attached, but unfortunately they had gotten kind of too wilty and slimy before I got to them, which always makes me sad to let the beet greens go to waste. But you can use the same approach: beet greens, kale, chard. You can do it with chard, but the chard leaves are very thin and the stems are very thick. So if you do it with chard, you need to cut the stems out. Otherwise, the leaves will be hopelessly overcooked by the time the stems are done. But beet greens and kale are both a little bit better proportioned all the way across, so they cook more evenly. Okay, stirring up my pasta here. Yeah, if anybody who really knew anything about real bucatini all'amatriciana saw me cooking this, I'm sure they would run screaming in horror. So I'm putting all the bacon back in to the onions and tomatoes. I'm giving that a good stir. And already this is turning into a kind of a dry, sticky situation in the pan here because a lot of the tomato liquid has cooked away. But that's okay because we'll use the tried and true technique of mixing in a little bit of pasta water to make everything nice and saucy. With the pasta water and the cheese mixed in, it'll be nice. I'm just tasting my onions to make sure they're not too sort of raw and oniony, and they're fine. They have a little bit of sweetness, and that's what matters. They're soft enough, they're not crunchy. They're not truly caramelized in any sense of the word, but it's fine. Okay, stirring the pasta again. Let's check on that. I didn't notice what time it went in. I think it's been enough time. That is pretty good. That was definitely less than the 11 to 13 minutes, I feel like. I guess I'll be able to tell when I listen to the podcast again. All right, so I'm stirring up the pasta sauce we got here. Like I said, it's pretty thick, a little bit dry. So before I forget, I'm going to grab a little pasta water out of there. I'm just dunking a little bowl in, scooping out some water, and getting out my colander, which I should have had ready. Where is it? There. Just stirring the pasta. And I'm turning my pasta sauce all the way down to low. So if you're making pasta just for yourself and you're going to have some leftover sauce, don't mix everything together. Because when you reheat the pasta and it's already mixed in with the sauce, everything gets incredibly gummy, I find, and doesn't taste very good. But I'm going to be making, this is enough pasta for two people. So I'm going to go ahead and mix this all right in with the sauce. I'm alone right now, but Peter should be back very soon. So I've just dumped the pasta. I don't know why. I'm using this totally inadequate spoon. Use the right tool for the job. Where's my nice spoon I was stirring the bacon with? All right. Just toss everything to combine and drizzle in a couple tablespoons of water, like a little glug of water from your pasta water collection. Turn the heat back up to medium-low. Grabbing my cheese. So I was going to say, the other thing you can do with the greens is actually you can get the garlic in there. If you're wilting them in the pan, you can fry up a little garlic in the pan in a little oil, and then when you add the greens, that'll all mix up nicely. If you're just boiling, use a tiny, tiny bit of garlic, because raw garlic has a bit more kick. Here, I've just stirred in the cheese to the pasta, so stirring everything up to mix nicely. Great. And I think I will grate a little bit more on top. Okay. That looks done. When you're boiling the greens, like I was saying, you can actually mix a little bit of vinegar together with some raw garlic that you've pressed through a press. Use just one or two small cloves and sort of mix that up like you'd be making a salad dressing, but you're not doing any olive oil. Although you can add a little olive oil if you want. If it seems too austere to you to just have the boiled greens and vinegar, you can add a little olive oil. But basically mix the vinegar up with the garlic and splash that on the top so the garlic gets a little better distributed over the greens. Okay, it looks like we're done. We have my totally butchered pasta alla amatriciana via the Dominican Republic. So that's ready, and we've got our boiled greens with a little bit of vinegar and red pepper. So enjoy that. Great weeknight dinner. This will get you through, I swear, it'll get you through the winter and those lean nights when it looks like you have nothing fresh to cook. The other nice thing is that kale lasts a long time in the fridge. It's a pretty sturdy green. So enjoy your dinner. And one point of business before I go. We have totally gotten with the program here at Cooking in Real Time headquarters and signed up with Twitter. So if you want to follow Cooking in Real Time on Twitter, it is Cook Real Time. And basically there, I'm just going to be posting the episode, sort of a ping to the episode, so you know it's up. And also, I keep running across little things about home cooking and motivational things and sort of interesting stuff you can read in other cookbooks you might like and that kind of thing. So I'll post links to those things there on the Twitter page as well, so the cookinginrealtime.com website doesn't get totally cluttered up. So sign up at the Twitter feed if you're so inclined. And as always, check out the website for the full recipe and photos. So thanks for listening to Cooking in Real Time. My name is Zora, and I'll be back with you in 2 weeks.